right. Well, so let's, shall we do any more of these or should we just get to the questions?
I'm probably the only person who's interested in this, but I gave two interviews over the weekend to Greek outlets. A Greek colonel assigned to NATO was arrested and charged with espionage for spying for China. This is highly, highly unusual in Greece. Not that somebody's been arrested for espionage. That happens quite frequently. It's almost always spying for the Russians. What's unusual is that this was the Chinese. There was very little evidence when I was still in the game that the Chinese gave two shits about NATO. They didn't care about NATO. Now, apparently, they care very much about NATO because they were trying to intercept NATO's communications and to decrypt it. This guy, he's a colonel. As I said, he immediately confessed. He said that he took an undisclosed trip to China a year ago. The Chinese recruited him there. They were giving him 5,000 to 15,000 euros for every classified document he brought out. He communicated with them on a separate cell phone, completely unencrypted, terrible tradecraft. Nothing was done clandestinely, just right out in the open. And this guy's going to spend much of the rest of his life in prison.
Wow.
Anyway, it brings the Chinese into an espionage story in Europe where they otherwise haven't been before.
So we're going to see more of this.
I think so, yeah.
Well, before we move on, speaking of Europe, a couple of top-ranking European officials are dropping like flies due to their Epstein connections.
That's right.
In France and in Belgium. Any thoughts?
I think that this is going to start to spread. And ironically, the United States appears to be the only place where nobody's taking these Epstein revelations seriously. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again as I pull this little piece of lint off my sweater that I can't seem to get a hold of. But I said last week, this could bring down the Keir Starmer government. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two different pieces of evidence indicating that former Prince Andrew and Peter Mandelson both gave Epstein classified documents from the British Ministry of Defense. If so, that would be a violation of the Official Secrets Act, which in the United States would be a violation of the Espionage Act. They're far tougher than we are. With these violations, these classified document violations. And not only is Peter Mandelson likely going to prison, but this could be enough to cause backbenchers in the Labour Party to force a vote on leadership. It could be the end of Keir Starmer in the next couple of weeks.
It does kind of feel like that. He has the smell. He has the smell of the Liz Truss cabbage on him.
I was going to say the same thing. He's lasted slightly longer than the cabbage, but not much.
No. And I guess now it's official. We're never going to see the other half of the Epstein files.
I don't know, man. I mean, people, I spent a good bit of the last week going through the Epstein files, and I found several John Brennan related documents that I'm going to try to make some hay over. But, I don't know, man, three million documents. People are still going through them, and there are millions left. I mean, the guy was like, the guy never got off email. It's incredible. Right. But another thing too, Ted, even though the statute of limitations has expired for just about every crime committed against the victims, the child victims here in the United States, that's not to say that the people who were engaged with Epstein and the people committing those crimes shouldn't be publicly shamed, that they shouldn't be ruined, you know, like Peter Mandelson, who's of course a UK national, but you know, the general counsel for Goldman Sachs and all these billionaire businessmen who thought it was perfectly okay to associate with a child rapist. They need to be called to account.
Illuminous Cutter, thanks for the $20 Australian. How will the current release of the files impact the US-Israeli relationship with it now seeming more obvious it was a Mossad honeypot operation?
Totally.
Wondering totally. If you could talk more about your experience in Israel.
Yeah, it was totally an Israeli honeypot operation. And I don't think anything is going to change. Nothing. I mean, I've been out there shouting from the rooftops that the Israelis, you know, spy on us Alan Dershowitz calls me names, and the Israeli foreign minister's political director called me a noted anti-Semite because of it. And it's true. They're still out there spying on us.
Question for both of us from Pink Lady. Do we believe what Stephen Greer has said about the government hiding evidence about aliens? John, can you send me a signed photo of yourself before you're too famous?
Sure, of course. I have to find one. What was the first part of the question?
Stephen Greer, aliens.
Yeah. People have asked me that over the years. I don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, if there is evidence, it's being tightly held at the Pentagon. But I honestly don't.
What do you think about those, like 5 years ago when the U.S. Air Force released those videos of UFOs?
Mm-hmm. There was one that was leaked in September that is dramatic. It's two F-18s following a UFO, an orb, a silver orb off the coast of Yemen. And they're talking about it back and forth. The camera never leaves the orb. And they're given permission to fire at it. It was a Hellfire missile, Sidewinder missile, one or the other. And you see the missile hit the thing, and the missile just bounces off. And the orb just changes direction by 90 degrees and just keeps flying. Incredible.
I mean, look, there's definitely evidence. Is there proof? There's not proof,
right.
But there's
right.
evidence.
Somebody asked if at the CIA we viewed our recruited sources as traitors and held them in contempt.
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
And the answer is absolutely not. You know, we really, really believed that we were the good guys. Mm. And so if we were able to recruit somebody and make them one of the good guys, we were all one big happy family. There were a couple of sources that I recruited who in normal life I would not be friends with, right? We would not have had contact. They were scumbags. In one case, he was a killer, like just a cold-blooded, stone-cold killer. But seven of the nine people that I recruited over the years, I would love to be friendly with them.
So you didn't have that sense of like, sort of like, you know, like the person who has an affair with a married person, and then they're like, well, you know, they could do this to me too someday, right? I mean, you didn't have that sort of.
Oh, sure. And that's what vetting is all about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got to polygraph them. You have to, what we call, operationally test them. I'll tell you, there was this one source that I had who I really, really liked. And because he was from an enemy country, he was recruited under special circumstances. Well, he was so reliable, I wanted to move him over to normal circumstances. It's a paperwork exercise. And as part of that paperwork exercise, I had to operationally test him. So I put a large surveillance team on him as he left his place of work, and they followed him to the meeting site. And the head of the security, the head of the surveillance team kept calling me saying, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's doing this, he's doing that. At one point, he got in a taxi, had the taxi just pull over on the side of an 8-lane highway. And then he ran across all 8 lanes, climbed over the median, got in the cab on the other side and went the opposite direction, and then got on the subway and came to the meeting. It was a terrific, it was very, very provocative in terms of you know, a surveillance detection route. So when he got there, I knew exactly what he had done, but I said, did you do a surveillance detection route on your way here? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, walk me through it and tell me what you did. And he told me, like, to a move, exactly what he did. And we were able to move him straight into the, yes, we can trust him camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he doesn't get run over.
I've actually run into sources twice, once at an airport and once on the street. And it was, you know, years. Well, in one case, it was 4 years after I left the agency. In the other case, it was, you know, 20 years after I left the agency.
Did you just nod or can you say hi?
They came up to me. I wasn't really paying attention. They came up to me and it was big bear hugs and, oh, my God, how are you doing? And one guy said, I can't believe you speak English. I can't believe it.
That's funny. He didn't know. Josh Buck, are there people still actually working on tracking and removing spies in the United States? Is it possible to achieve? Will we ever be free from foreign control?
So the FBI's counterintelligence division, that's literally all they do, is to try to root out spies and to remove them or prosecute them. It's an ongoing, never-ending job because more and more spies are coming here every day. There are more spies in Washington, D.C. than anywhere else in the world. And it's not possible to win, to root them all out, unless you want to be North Korea.
It's whack-a-mole.
It's whack-a-mole, yeah.
Bicycle Pro 12, 12345. Thanks for the $8 donation. Ever do spy work with the Aussies? Would be interested in knowing what you thought about our intel service, if you ever did.
I never did anything operationally with the Australians. I briefed them a number of times. We have, you know, they're Five Eyes countries, so they're literally sitting there in the building. Their primary focus is, as you might expect, is China. And that was never my thing. So worked in proximity with them, but almost never directly. They're quite good. They're quite a good service. Very good service.